introduce today's guest, I just want to let you guys know that the Optimized Man online program is available. Hit me up on Instagram at Optimized Man. Send me a message or book a call. We can have a chat and we can see where you're at with where you want to go. Now, today's guest is Liam McElwee. Liam is an entrepreneur. He's been a CrossFit gym owner, former competitive swimmer. He currently lives in Mexico and he helps people with their businesses. He's a bit of a business coach. So he has a great story about dealing with his own body image issues and insecurities as a young man, as a teenager, and even to this day as well. We all kind of hang on to those issues a little bit. We just learn how to deal with them a little bit more with better techniques and tools. And talking about them is one of those techniques or tools you can use, because then you figure out that a lot of men do deal with body image issues and insecurities around feeling like they're too skinny, they're too fat, their chest is too big or small, whatever it is. Liam's got a great story and he has some great tips and advice for young men. So I hope you enjoy today's episode with Liam McElwee. You can check him out on Instagram at LJMCELWEE. I'll tag him in this in my Instagram post as well. But check it out, guys. Give this podcast a thumbs up, subscribe, like it, leave a comment. That would be great. And check out Optimized Man on Instagram at Optimized Man. My body image too much, and I started to be, I guess, turn into more of the man I am now. And I moved back to Byron Bay, and I was in this environment like you are in Mexico, where everyone's got their shirt off, they're half naked, and it kind of forced me to do that more, and that really shifted my mindset. But I also finally dealt with a lot of those negative self-talk patterns, right? You know, I started to concentrate more on building new, language, how I spoke to myself and how I spoke to myself, you know, physically as well, like outside of my head. And that really made a shift. And today I'm completely confident with myself, right? Like, you know, I'm obviously fit. I feel physically strong, but I'm trying to understand how other men have dealt with it in their past or if they still deal with it. And that's why I was going to ask you if you've experienced issues with body image insecurities throughout your life at all.
Yeah, 100%, man. I was a competitive swimmer all my childhood, teens, early 20s. And I was always the podgy kid, right? Like always a podgy kid. And I still do it to this day and age. Like I walk around 24/7. And I don't understand why I don't have six pack abs that just bulge out everywhere. But I walk around with my tummy sucked in all the time. Like it's never just natural. What natural for me now is like my stomach is naturally sucked in. I was so worried about like that muffin top over the top of my Speedos or you know, and it was recognized. Like my coach, I got to a level when I was 16. I was Olympic trials. I was the fastest 16-year-old in the country, but my coach still had me every single day at school. He'd pick me up at lunchtime and we'd go walk up a big hill near school.
Yeah,
because I needed to burn extra fat. And it was like, you know, it was always like, you know, you're carrying too much weight. You know, you're carrying too much. You know, you're carrying too much. No one ever talked about nutrition. Swimmers are really poor in that area, right? Michael Phelps, eat what you want. You burn it off. Well, I was the one that never really burnt it off well enough. And I don't know for what reason. I think now looking back on things, it was because I was carb loaded up to my eyeballs. I was, you know, eating portions that were just absolutely ridiculous, but it screws your mind up, man. You know, like what girl is gonna want to date me? Or like, I don't think I kissed a girl till I was like 18 years of age. Like I never had that confidence to like just even try to connect with someone of the opposite sex or someone I fancied, right? So it definitely played with my mind. And, you know, Even now, like I owned a CrossFit gym for 5 years. I got in somewhat good shape, but I was still podgy. Like that's just my makeup, I think. I don't know. Keegan's challenge for me in the next 90 days is to get to 10 or 12%, which I've never been in my life. So I've always been the podgy kid. And when I sold my CrossFit gym, I put on a bit of extra weight, and I've been to a couple of CrossFit gyms, you know, for like 1, 2, 3 month periods. And when I owned my gym and thought I was in good shape, the mindset was, I look great. I'm smoking, you know, like I'm fabulous. And it's funny because when I left the gym and got on the ketones was when I sold my gym. I lost 25 pounds in a month, 0% muscle, and all this fat just dropped off me. And I was like, my God, I thought I looked good. Like, look at the photos. I didn't look good at all. But it was all in my head because I was in an environment of like-minded people that pumped me up, that didn't give a shit about what I looked like. It was more about having fun, working out well, and just whatever. But now that I've got the extra weight back on, you think I can take my t-shirt off during a workout? It's not going to happen. And it's not. You know, you build all these beliefs, these self-beliefs that, you know, what are they saying behind my back, or what do they think I'm like? The reality is, no one's ever said any of that stuff to me in my, you know, adult life, but I still have it in my head from my childhood days that it exists, and people are going home and I'm that important that they're talking about my body weight. It's bullshit.
It's crazy that those mind games still play with yourself. Like I mean, I still think about it too, because I am like, I'm a trainer. I like to be fit. I feel my most confident when I'm fit, lean. I train regularly. It's my therapy in a way, exercising. And then you do think about those times when you were younger, where someone pointed out your chest, or grabbed your nipple or something and called you a name. And for me, sometimes I kind of use it as fuel to maintain my routine of wanting to be, lean and muscular. And I feel that as a man now, as a father particularly, like I have a duty to show up to be the strongest, not necessarily like physically, but just a strong, responsible man, right? So there's things in my past that had happened that, even though they were bad, I try and use them as motivation now to maintain and to continue to grow. But you can still, I'm sure you can still feel those feelings that you did feel when your coach told you those things, or when you'd look at yourself in the mirror and you'd think they're going home and talking about you. And as an adult man, like, people don't give a shit, because I think people eventually realize, through having partners, relationships, and life, that there's so many different shapes and sizes. Obviously, there's an optimal type of kind of body in a way, right? There's very strong, lean, healthy people. Sorry, strong, healthy people who might be slightly overweight and they're not low body fat percentage. Then there's also very skinny people, that can be unhealthy. So it's just interesting, because did you talk to anyone about it when you were younger, or was it something that you didn't talk about? Or as you got older, you expressed it more? Was it something that you had to talk about with your partner or your parents or your coach?
No, I'm pretty good at bottling things up, right? So I just bottled it up until one day it was just like, you know, excuse the language, I just don't give a fuck about what anyone thinks anymore, right? Like it's not important. It's not worthwhile. Like, you know, I think I put a post up on social media the other day. It's like 0% of what I do is for you. It's me versus me. And I learned that, and it took a lifetime to get there, it feels like, right? But when we're young, we don't get taught a growth mindset, right? We grow up and we have all this bullying and, you know, negative talk from others, and we just take it all on board and we become the victim. It's easy to become the victim, right? Like, I think statistically, we have, what is it, like 70% of our thoughts are negative thoughts on a daily basis. And that's, you know, somewhat like to keep us safe and all that sort of stuff. But no one teaches you to deal with things that you take to heart, to be able to transfer that around, like you said, and see it as a positive energy, a positive fuel, right? There's so many people that stay in this victim mindset, and I'm sure they want to get out of it, but no one's giving you the tools to get out of it.
And the thing with me when I was young is, you know, I played, you know, football, and I was into a lot of like extreme sports, but so I grew up in the bush. I was always outdoor active. But my dad, even though he had his insecurities, like he worked out too. Like we had weights at home, and he was always doing stuff to want to become fitter and stronger and deal with some of his insecurities. So even though he passed a lot of his insecurities on to me that I took on board, he also ingrained like hard work and exercise, which ended up turning me wanting to become a personal trainer at 19 when I left high school, right? So he kind of, you know, gave me some of the issues I had, but he also gave me a lot of the tools in terms of, if I have this problem, I'm going to take action towards being a better version of myself, which kind of leads me into the next question in terms of some of the things we see in society today, where I'm happy with people being confident in their body if they're extremely obese. You know, you can be happy and that's fine, but if you want to change, you don't have to accept where you are. You have the options to reach out to a coach or someone who has a physique or an eating pattern that you want to kind of take on board. There is help out there. So in terms of today's in society, like, you know, because what do you think about that kind of body positivity movement? Because I think there's some really good stuff in it, but I also think there can be some underlying issues with accepting disease and sickness for being too overweight, right? I wouldn't want to accept that for myself because I'm potentially leading myself to an early grave by being overweight for the majority of my life.
So you have this tool of, you know, approving those body images, which do what at the end of the day? At the end of the day, they're improving people's mindset, right? Like they feel good about what they look like. Well, wouldn't it be better if people actually just gave the real information and taught people to be positive in the mind? But the reality is, you know, you may think you're healthy, but think of the long road, right? Like you're big now and you're okay, but what does it look like 30 years from now, 40 years now, 50 years from now? What we should do is we should be, you know, improving that mindset, but at the same sense, highlighting that health wise, you're not on a good trajectory. I can't never say that word. Trajectory, trajectory.
Trajectory.
The horrible word, but you know what I mean. Like your health expectancy dictates your life expectancy, and
Yes,
if your health is poor, then really your life expectancy is going to decrease. Now you may be that freakishly lucky person that has what we would consider a poor health, and they're the, what do you call it? They're the outlier, and they actually live a great life and a great age. But the reality is, our society is getting is dying younger, and they're saying now that our the death rate is lowering at such a rate that there is going to be kids dying before their parents in the next 20, 30 years.
And it's funny because I think within that body image, sorry, body positivity movement, if you want to call it that, is they might talk about the negativity of social media. Every second person has their shirt off with their abs, and there's asses everywhere. You know what I mean? So it's like I can kind of see the negativity in that because as a young person, like if it was me or you, our younger version of ourselves, and you're constantly seeing that, you are comparing yourself every day. It's like I used to compare myself to the other football heads or the jocks at school who were genetically gifted, they were leaner, they were more muscular at a young age, they were just hitting puberty really young, right? And you're like, Jesus, all the girls flock to them. Whereas I was like, you know, on the outskirts, you know, so I used to look up to them, but you'd compare yourself. So you can kind of see, in a way, social media does damage it to a sense. People or can really, you know, not really help young people, young men wanting to be a better version of themselves. But at the same time, some people it might work, it might shock them into action. Like you know, for me, it was like, I need to do something about it. So I'm going to get out and I'm going to work out because I know that's the tools I have at the moment.
Yeah, like David Goggins, right? Like,
yeah. I'm a big believer in, you know, action, you know, to kind of get where you want, which sometimes can be a bit of a, you know, sometimes it's good to think things through before you take direct action. But, you know, I try and stress that a lot in my messaging is like, you know, even walking around the block for you three times a day or whatever, that could be massive action in your shoes. So just start with that. You don't have to think about massive action as going cold turkey on this, doing all the cold therapy, doing the personal training, working out an hour every day. Like, no, just I want you to start somewhere and create this habit. And taking action could be doing 10 push-ups, 10 squats, you know, three times a day, and then build upon that. So that small incremental improvement is, I think is a very powerful thing for men wanting to make a change, right? You know, at least start somewhere, and taking little action is better than no action.
Yeah, the company I'm in, we always talk about 1% better, right? If you can be 1% better every single day, that's a shit ton in a year, right? It's so much. And the reality is, you know, we have the ability to be 1% better every day, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, relationships, whatever it is, right? And I think I really enjoyed what you said there about comparison. And one of my favorite quotes of all time is, comparison is the thief of joy. Right? Like, it literally, I don't know how we teach this or how we get this into people, but the whole, once again, mentality of I don't give a fuck. It's me versus me, and how you can, you know, let people learn that, understand that more, that at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, like, what someone thinks of you, because God, and I hate to say it out loud, but, you know, Australian and New Zealand mentality as well are that old, what's it called?
Small
again?
Poppy.
Yeah, tall poppy syndrome. Tall poppy,
yeah.
Tall poppy syndrome, right? Like, it doesn't matter. You go on social media, there's always going to be people that hate you. We can't win. If you're looking for 100% feedback, positive feedback, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we aspire for it as human beings.
Yeah, yeah. So what are your, like, do you still, you know, obviously you said, you know, you don't give a shit anymore, which is probably one of your coping mechanisms in the past. So what other things were you doing in terms of trying to deal with that, you know, that negative mindset or just the perception you had of yourself? Like, obviously you have always been a physical guy, but what did you have any other kind of coping mechanisms in terms of dealing with your body image issues?
Yeah, I think because we want things to happen yesterday, and I'm still like that as well, right? The road to the destination is it's a long one, right? And it's important to realize that destination is the journey. The journey is the fun part. You're never going to get to a destination. But for me, like, manifestation and like the reticular activating system, like, you know, all that positive self-talk, or, you know, creating goals that you've got posted everywhere, or photos of something that you aspire to and you have it on your vision board or something like that, right? I think the more we talk about what we want, it becomes more achievable. The more we talk about what we are and what we don't like, stops us from moving forward and doing the things that are required to get where we want to be. So we have to work on what we want and not what we are at the moment, or what we're focusing on, or what we're not enjoying.
Yeah.
Because once again, it's easy. You know, like, I worked in a rehabilitation center, and you talk to these guys like, what are you working on? I'm working on giving up heroin. I'm working on giving up heroin. I'm working on giving up heroin. What are they talking about? They're talking about heroin.
Yeah.
It's still in their mind. So we would have to talk to them and say, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about, what are you working on to get better? Oh, you know, I'm going to the gym. I'm eating healthy. Going to the gym. I'm eating healthy. And then it promotes more thought process on going to a gym and eating healthy, going on a gym. It's like, you know, that old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you can. It just takes time.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's great. It's the That's been great for me too, is that manifestation of, you know, thinking what I want, you know, having the photos up, the dollar sign, whatever it is on the wall, the posters, you know, the daily reminders, but then work, taking action upon that, you know, because obviously some people think you just think about it and you want it, but obviously you need to add that action into action in with your manifestation and your mental, your mental thought patterns. It's like, okay, this is what I want. I'm saying it out loud every day to my partner, to myself in the shower. Then I get to action. I go to the gym. I save 10% of my income. I, you know, drink 4 liters of water, and then that's the 1%, and that accrues and accumulates over time.
And routine, right? Routine, like structure and routine. My granddad, when I was growing up, he would prep his breakfast the night before. He would have his knife and fork set up a certain way. His routine in the morning was wake up, eat his breakfast, spend 45 minutes in the washroom because he used to cut throat, shave, and all that sort of. It was routine. I used to think he was a bloody serial killer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm of age, I'm like, it makes sense. I mean, you still want to be able to add in that spontaneity as well, you know, with life to enjoy things. But really, at the end of the day, like those morning routines or those gym routines or whatever it is, they need to become really a process, right? Like it's, and the more you repeat that process, when you wake up the next day, guess what happens? Shit, that's right. I've got to. There's the process. Yep. I've got to repeat the process. If it's sporadic, you wake up in the morning, you don't really think about it. You're like, maybe.
Yeah. The process leads to the outcome, right? So that's why it's a good idea to focus on the process. Like you have your big goal written up, but if you want to win an AFL grand final, that's the goal, right? But the process is the training, the nutrition, you know, the coaching. So there's all those processes within that goal that you have. So
well, and team. Like so many people forget about team and community, right? Like there's no Olympian that's ever gone to the well, there's very few Olympians that have ever gone to the Olympics without a coach. Ben Johnson won the 400 meters whenever it was, however many years ago it was, 42 seconds for the 400 meter. That same year, four women working together, not the world's best athletes, ran the 400 meter relay in 38 seconds.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Teamwork, right? Like build a strong team around you, whether it's knowledge, support, accountability, whatever it is. Because especially men, bro, especially men, how many times you go, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I got this. I can do it. I'll work it out.
Yeah. I still do it a lot. You know, I still do it with my business in a way. And that's why it's good coming back into the mentorship group we're part of with Uncommon, because you're like, oh, no, I'm sweet. I'll keep doing this. I'll try and get my online business up, or I need to get more clients. But then you hit a brick wall where you've tried everything. If you're part of a community, you've got people that are ahead of you, people in terms of your success or where you want to go, or people who might be coming up underneath you. So, yeah, having that mentorship group or that group of men particularly, you know, I think it helps with so many parts of your life. You know, for instance, if it's your mental health, talking about issues that men don't traditionally kind of talk about a lot, which is, you know, changing, which is great. But just to like keep you motivated, because that's why like trying to lose all that weight or to build that muscle and doing it by yourself, like, you know, you've got to be a very disciplined person to be able to stick with some stuff. So it's always nice to be able to like, you know, rattle off your ideas or your problems, your issues you're having, and kind of figure it out together. So that was actually my
benefit. The reality is if, you know, if you're that person that's of that nature to be able to do it by yourself, they're typically the people that don't get themselves into that position in the first place, right?
Because
they're usually more in tune. They're more there's a word I'm looking for that escapes me. You know what I mean? Like they're more aware of what's going on, and they tend to get to a place where they're like, "Whoa, this is getting to a place where I don't want to go. I'm gonna get out of it before I actually get into it." You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the people that can't do it by themselves that typically fall into it, whether it's, you know, a broken relationship, I don't know, they're hanging out with the wrong people, the bad environment. It's a lone, like everything, lonely place, man. Business. Yeah. If you're not surrounded by other business people, it's a lonely place.
Yeah.
If you're a big fat person and no one else that you hang around is a big fat person, it's a lonely place.
It's interesting because, I mean, with obviously technology this day and age, you know, we have that opportunity like we do with our mentoring community is, you know, there's so many options available for people to kind of get in touch with everyone, right? There's so many options available for you to be fitter, stronger, leaner, more confident, you know, all the information is out there. Do you think it can become very overwhelming for people because there's almost so many options, particularly men?
Yeah, 100%. You should do the keto diet. You should do the vegan diet. You should fast. You should do this. You should do that. Mm. How about you do the thing that works for you, right? And like I'm big on that. N equals one, the experimentation of oneself, right? Because I did the vegan. I did the paleo. I did the keto, you know, like these days carnivore works really well for me, you know? Yeah. So I wouldn't have known carnivore worked for me if I thought veganism was the way to go and stayed with vegan.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to bag the vegans, but, you know, like, a lot of times, it's a society right now, man. You're on this team or you're on that team. Like, there doesn't have to be a team. It's just work out what works for you. Surround yourself with a whole lot of different people with a whole lot of different ideas. Listen to everybody. Do some research yourself and then
experiment.
Go play. Experiment.
Yeah, 100%. Like you said, it's part of that journey because then eventually you figure it out that the carnivore diet works well, you know, that you really enjoy heavy strength training over doing HIIT stuff. So, yeah, you've got to try. You've got to take that action towards something because, yeah, I mean, it's powerful. Like, you know, my motivation is to have men feeling more confident in their skin the way I feel now. Like I love having that a type of physical freedom. You know, there's obviously always I can learn how to do handstands longer, I can do muscle ups, all this, but having that awareness in my body that I know that I can lift things off the ground or I do jiu-jitsu so I can wrestle, like having that physical freedom I think is a very powerful tool, which I feel like it comes with a bit of mental freedom in a way. I think the mental thing starts and then the physical comes afterwards, but having men feeling more confident in their skin, and it might have their, I guarantee, and you've probably felt this too, is if you start working out or you start trying to eat better or start talking to yourself in a better way, I guarantee if you stick with that for 20, 30 days, your life will improve, you know, and it's not a very long time to actually give it a try and experiment. So try something and then go on to the next thing if it doesn't kind of work. But if you set that that intent and you take action towards it, your life will start to get better.
And just be happy where you're at that time, right? I listened to a podcast this morning and the guy was saying, you know, there was a basketball team and there was one guy on the team that was an absolute superstar. Like he couldn't miss a shot. And then the guy that was doing the podcast said, like, you know, I had the worst game ever. I couldn't sink anything. I couldn't do anything. And he's beating himself up, absolutely beating himself up. And then he talked to the guy that had the rock star game. And he's like, how'd you go? He's like, oh, I don't think I did very good.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, what? Are you kidding me? We won the game because of you. And he goes, no, you had an amazing game, mate.
Yeah.
You got the ball off the opposition and you bought me that ball, and all I did was put it in the hole.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah.
You did a great job. So you've got two guys that actually did fabulous jobs and they're recognizing it in each other, but they're not actually happy with themselves at that moment, right? So, you know, the self-belief, but being able to practice that as a man is such a hard skill, man, because we're so, you know, we've got to keep wifey happy. We've got to keep the kids happy. We've got to make money. We've got to keep the roof over the top of our heads. We've got to provide food for the family. And then it's so easy just to forget about you. Where's your self-care? Where are you looking after yourself? Where are you feeling good about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, epic. Really good.